I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to EP Yoga. I think we've got a pretty exciting show for you this evening. We're going to be talking about a subject that a lot of people like to talk about and listen to information about, and that is first contact. We'll also be talking about some techniques that will assist people in meeting the maximum possibilities and potentials for themselves for the year 2012. But before we get into that, I'd like to take a moment to give my gratitude and appreciation to our listeners out there, because if it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be ET Yoga. And I love doing ET Yoga. I like to be presenting the latest ideas that come across my consciousness and passing those on to our listeners. And I'd also like to say thanks to a lot of new listeners that we have out there in the UK at Glastonbury Radio, which is a new affiliate. And speaking of the UK and Glastonbury Radio, got an email from one of our listeners this week, Shelley from the UK, and brought up an important point. A few weeks back, I had sort of made a challenge to our listening audience to email me and let me know about other sources of information that have been consistent with a lot of the material that I've been presenting concerning consciousness. And Shelley brought up the point that the Seth material actually rang true with much of the information that I had been presenting, and was I aware of that, and had I shared that with our listening audience? And I'd like to comment on that, because I've been, I guess, remiss in connecting our listeners with this material. It's fabulous, fabulous material, in my opinion, and especially The Nature of Personal Reality, and that's by Jane Roberts. And this material, to me, is very consistent with the Bashar material, a lot of the good material that you'll see in the Ta tapes, as well as the Ra material. And Jerry and Esther Hicks actually have been channeling an entity known as Abraham. And that's another excellent source of information and expands a lot upon the Seth material. Interesting to note, because I was making the challenge sort of in connection with the extraterrestrial channeled material, primarily from the Pleiadians, Esasani, Syrians, and Arcturians. And it is, to my way of thinking, a fabulous source of information. And I want to expand upon that a little bit, because to me, channeled information, be it extraterrestrial or not, has amazing value. And of course, there is a fair amount of it that's trivial or untrue, made up, just like information in all walks of life on all subjects. And so, obviously, we as readers or listeners or viewers have to use discernment in to what rings true for us. In connection with the Seth material, by the way, one of the reasons, I guess, that I didn't bring it to our listeners' attention previously with respect to it being separate from extraterrestrial is because I've always thought of it as being extraterrestrial in nature. And thanks to our list calling in, I did a little bit of further research because to me the Seth material really always smacked of Esasani. It's so connected to Bashar. And when you look on the internet and look up Seth and Ra, Ka, they're all sort of lumped together as well. But the Seth material was never presented as extraterrestrial in nature. And doing some research there, I also noted that this material came out, the Seth material, about 1971. Some of the first books came out. And so it actually predated Daryl Anka and Bashar. And at the same time, I did a little checking, and in Shift of Ages, in Chapter 4, at one of the Jane Roberts sessions, Seth presented himself as an apparition, and a couple of the people who were at the session actually drew their conception of his image. And this is pictured, actually, on the Internet under Shift of Ages, Chapter 4, and clearly looks extraterrestrial, maybe like a tall gray, or maybe because of their artist conception, possibly there's, it could be Esasani. Not that it's a really an important factor, because one of the things I really like about the Seth material and the Bashar material is clearly that there's not a focus on who they were. The focus is on the information. And this is a point that I've been bringing up time and time again on ET Yoga, that in point of fact, the amazing importance of the Bashar material is about the information. And neither Daryl nor Bashar try to convince the listening audience or those who are attending in person that he is, in fact, extraterrestrial. They make the statement that, of course, they say he is. But it's not really provable, and it's not really the point. And I think that really, you know, leads us to, and we're talking about the whole subject of first contact. How channeling really does play an important role. And two of the major points there of how channeling plays a major role is in some of the Bashar information. He makes it clear that when they make contact with new civilizations, they actually sometimes go through the process of having an incarnation on the planet, an extraterrestrial does, prior to the contact experience. And that is, in Daryl's case, he is the previous incarnation of Bashar. And they do this because when they make the connection that they're doing now from actually a future self, it allows them to have an experience and an understanding that they wouldn't have because they'd be too alien to understand each other conceptually. And thus the connection that Bashar and Daryl Anka have now, it's an amazing process whereby Daryl sort of goes into a trance state and their energies connect, and through an amazing process, the information is translated and comes out in English. And it's one of those sort of techniques that the extraterrestrials use to acclimate us to their energy. And I know a lot of people think that, you know, gee, why don't they just land on the White House steps and get it all over with? But in point of fact, we need to be ready for contact. And this is sometimes a tough thing to judge. from the extraterrestrials' point of view in terms of when first contact should occur. And it's also important that this whole process be done in a beneficial way for both sides. And also, there's clearly a huge psychological implications. And I know Bashar gives the example that it's sort of like if you took a very high spinning gear and a slow spinning gear and you mesh them together too rapidly, then the result is not positive. And clearly, there's a vibration here when we're being in touch with extraterrestrials that for some people is more or less shocking. And no doubt why, when there was original information or material evidence, crashed UFO, whatever, when that first happened, there's no doubt that those in power, rightly so, kept that information because of the concept of the shock that that could create in society. And in fact, Bashar gives an example that actually they had contacted some people that they told them where they were going to meet and to actually be picked up in their craft. And the first three people that they did this with, they were so sure that they were ready and willing to go aboard a craft. And they went to the pickup site, but once the craft sort of came into view, they ran, scared out of their wits. And Bashar indicated that the reason they ran wasn't so much fear of them, but the fear that came up within themselves. Because there's a lot of information that needs to be integrated. And so this is a, you know, this is a real factor in this whole process of extraterrestrial contact, first contact, and when that first public contact will occur. And I've given the analogy a few times on ET Yoga that I sort of look at first contact as being somewhat similar to back in the days of Columbus when he discovered the New World, and in that there is now lots of physical evidence that he, in fact, wasn't the first, but in point of fact, he got credit for being, you know, the person that discovered the New World. And I kind of see the public first contact scenario somewhat in that same light, that there will at some point in our future time be a time and a date when, you know, history will record that this is our, you know, first contact. And I guess as a prelude to some of the Bashar information that I'll be presenting this evening around the time of that event and who it will be with, I think it's important that we sort of maybe put some of this into some sort of historical context. Now, you know, I wasn't there, so I don't have any proof of, you know, the comments that that I'm going to be making here, but the gist of what I sort of pick up as true is that aside from some other rumored contacts pre the World War II era, the key one in my mind was the crash of the UFO in Roswell in the United States. And the implications that clearly that there were extraterrestrials, and that apparently there was some interesting alien technology as well on that craft. And as time went on, it became known that those extraterrestrials in a sense, really weren't extraterrestrial. They were more like coming from a parallel dimension, and actually were future selves of us. And I think it's really an important point, because the way they looked, clearly alien, not really resembling us a lot, and the fact that apparently their civilization had reached a point of almost extinction, and clearly they went down the wrong road. And I know that there are people out there that have been interviewed, especially on Project Camelot, that really have the opinion that these beings came back in time to sort of help us not make the same choices that they did, and end up in a situation where they were almost to the point of extinction and unable to reproduce. And I think there probably is some validity in a lot of that information, because if you do believe that there have been some further than meetings with officials that represented humanity, that there has been treaties and agreements made with the extraterrestrials on certain topics. And one of those topics is the preservation of humanity. And thus there have been some, not only from this the Zeta civilization, but other extraterrestrials involved with assisting us in ways to best deal with potential, shall we say, negative, probable future realities. And so in this light, we have the whole question of ETs coming back to help us, but there's also the point that I don't see really out there very much, that those ETs came back also to help themselves. And this, in this regard, they were very interested in creating a hybrid civilization. And I believe that this hybrid civilization is going to play a major, major role in the first contact scenario that will be public, as well as have a major impact on what is commonly called the abduction scenario. And this is where the Greys have, in fact, made abduction, and Bashar has confirmed this in his talks, that this whole process was about creating a hybrid civilization, which eventually, in future times, turned out to be one of the results of those experiments, actually, were the Esasani. And a very obviously highly spiritually evolved civilization. And so this whole concept then of first contact and what's happening to me is sort of twofold, not only to assist humanity, but also it's a two-edged sword. We're assisting them. And if you really think about it, in order to make a hybrid civilization, I'm not a geneticist or a scientist, but to my way of thinking, logically, we probably must have had some compatible DNA in order for them to make that connection in the first place. So I sort of offer this as sort of a background material to the actual first public contact scenario. So I'll kind of label that as kind of what's kind of happening and leading up to that. And also, I'd like to also mention a process or a program that's sort of in place now, and it's called the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. because I think this is also an important part of this whole topic. And this was about 2.5 years ago. A committee was formed that I was part of that was connected with Daryl Bashar and a number of people to actually establish the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act. And you can actually see a copy of that at www.bashar.org, and that's B-A-S-H-A-R. And the intent of that, I guess, was to get lots of people to express their interest and their excitement about contacting extraterrestrials, at least extraterrestrials who present themselves as being of peaceful nature. And it was also a way to set up a protocol for potential and future extraterrestrial contact to take place that would be followed, so that the public would be aware of agreements and contracts that might be made with that future contact. And the idea here being that a law would be passed and in the United States and in other countries around the world, and eventually at the United Nations. And this is a process that's sort of underway, likely will take years in the making. But as the extraterrestrials would say, they've sort of, you know, in a way, kept kind of a hands-off approach. At least the positive ETs have kept a hands-off approach with the Earth in terms of not wanting to interfere too much, but at the same time, more than willing to become involved and make their presence known should there be an interest from our side as well. And, of course, this also ties in with increasing our vibration and us becoming more of who we are, which will then make that contact more probable and sooner. And in point of fact, when Bashar has done some workshops concerning, he calls it Contact 101, in terms of improving your capacity to make contact, the key thing is self-empowerment and becoming more of who you really are. And because as you we can, it only stands to reason that as we raise our own vibration, that we become closer in frequency to the extraterrestrials. And so this is another, you know, really highly important factor in the whole process, and that is frequency and vibration. And I think at this point, now, I'd like to share with you the, actually, it's called the Shalanaya transcript, because according to Bashar, the Shalanaya will be the name of the first extraterrestrial civilization that will have open public contact with us. And he says that the word Shalanaya actually means those who will come first. And so it should be very interesting because I think that aside from Daryl making this information known, and again, I guess I'll throw a challenge out to our listening audience. If you know of anybody else who's talked about the Shalanaya, I'd be very interested in that, as well as I'm sure many of our listeners would be as well, to see if anybody else has clued into the fact that the Shalanaya, and that's S-H-A-L-A-N-I-A, will be the first civilization that will have open public contact. And the Shalanaya transcript kind of goes like this. In your traditional way, once upon a time, There was many of your years ago, but yet to you, still many of your years in the future. A world which was fashioned for the purpose of continuing a civilization that had brought itself to the brink of destruction. And this world was fashioned so they could have a second chance at perpetuating their culture, their civilization. These are the ones who made us. The ones who made us found your parallel reality and other parallel realities and fashioned from their own genetic material and yours several hybrid species of which we are one. And this is from Bishara's point of view. I began my incarnation in my civilization 137 of your years ago, but yet still 2,700 years in your future. As I was born in my society and allowed to be telepathically connected, I did not forget my connection to my spirit, my higher mind, my oversoul, in which was made an arrangement, an agreement, wherein I would have also what to me is a past life on your world, which is the channel before you. And in that arrangement was set out certain parameters for how that communication would occur, would evolve. And it was taught to me at age 3 that I would contact my past self also at age 3 and form the bridge and the link that would connect us through this life. And I was taught the way of doing these things, for I knew and I remembered that this would be my expression, my passion, to open gateways and open doorways for the consciousness for those on the threshold of new awakening and new realities and new experiences. And I was filled with great joy to realize. And as my orbits around my central star progressed and I became what you know as the seventh year of life, thus then was I also introduced to another who was to be a counterpart in this endeavor, who as a female of my society would also be an initiator of the opening of the gates and the opening of the doors. And as such, I would take upon myself the apparition that you have come to know as Bishara, and she would take up the apparition known as Anima. And in this way, together, we would initiate contact and open many doors so that those civilizations with whom we would interact would eventually be those who would join the Alliance of Worlds. And in this way did we grow and train and learn to explore together. And before my time, there was the creation by those that made us of a repository of knowledge on our world, and not only upon our world, which in our ancient language is Esasani, place of living life, but on all other worlds that had fashioned, and also placed thereupon other hybrid races, each of whom would play a part in a variety of ways of opening up remembrance, contact, and continuance with ancestors, which are you, Anani, in our ancient language, the ancestors, the ancient ones, who are in that sense from whom we are made. We are in that sense all the hybrids, your extension and your children. But each plays a different role in the remembrance and rejoining a family. We play our part in initiation, but there are those who will be the first to make open contact with you, who have begun to show their ships to you. As we have named them, those encounters you have come to know as the Phoenix Lights, being represented of such a group, who shall be the first, and are now, through us, allowed to represent that as we are Esasani and you are Anani, they are the Shalanaya. which means those who will come first. The Shalaniah are our cousins and brethren, and your immediate children. From these experiences, you have labeled abduction on your planet, which is for the further perpetuation of the species of those who made us. Your counterpart, humans, in a parallel reality, who have mutated beyond the recognition of the human form and in so prevented themselves from continuing in the same manner as which you do through reproduction. But in contacting their parallel selves, of which you are parts of the same oversoul, to, shall we say, initiate the idea of contact through what you have called the abductions, did form bonds that were unexpected in their oversoul to allow them to glean and glimmer a new sense of emotionality and the potential of what you can become as a parallel reality that take a path unlike the path they took. They recognize that you are similarly heading down the same road of destruction. But know first that for you there is a fork that they did not take, and in so creating the hybrid races, such as ourselves, did put upon us the task of assisting our ancestors, the Anani, to aid and assist in waking you up as you travel down that path, so that by the time you arrive at that fork in the road, you will take the one they did not take, and you will take the one that will allow you to continue, and you will take the one that will allow you to rejoin the family, which they have taken from you in perpetuating themselves, the family that shall return, the first of which being the Shalaniah. As they return, as they open contact, they will bring gifts of knowledge and awareness. They will remind you of your true history, not history in the singular, but history, all the way back to the origins of the DNA that has plowed its way through space, finally arriving in the solar system you call your own, and setting up incarnations on the planet that has been destroyed, Marduk, on the planet that has been destroyed, Mars, and on the planet that has yet to be seen, is what it will experience, and that is the Earth, but which we know you will continue on. For we would not at this point be speaking with you had you not taken the fork that will allow for the family reunion. We thank you for taking that fork. And even though we know there are still what you recognize as the dark days of confusion, when it does not always seem as if you are moving toward the light, from our perspective, the gift you have given to us of life allows us to reflect our knowledge back to you that is the road you are on, for we are on it with you, and we will never, ever, ever leave your side. Though we may present ourselves in various ways at various times and express our beingness with you in a variety of endeavors that shall take different forms, that shall transform always, it will be with the essence of ourselves, lest within that endeavor that shall continue side by side with you, the Anani, our ancestors. For we thank you for the gift of life, and I thank you for my experience on my world and on yours simultaneously. I am enriched, and we are all enriched by each and every experience you allow us to have of you, for we not only discover more of ourselves, of our own world, in our own reality, but we discover more of ourselves through you, through the aspects of you that are within us, as your ancestors, as your descendants, as your children. Fear not, worry not. You will become what you choose to be. For we see you as you are in our time, And at our time, you are among the stars, and you know who you are. And in our time, there is another form of life on earth, learning its lessons, creating its experiences, but you will leave behind a few things they will ponder, and they will wonder about you and where you went. And in spirit, you will guide them. Even as in body, you will explore other worlds and assist others as we assist you, other star systems evolving, other civilizations evolving. And you will contact them much as we have contacted you, and you will be their entities and make them wonder what lies beyond. And you will bring them up the ladder with all of us as you take your place as a full-fledged member of the Interstellar Alliance, that gathering which together synchronistically expands and enriches all the participants, all who harmonize within it, because the case is the freedom to be the fullest individual and to learn that by being so, that this is what creates the harmony of unity, that diversity, that strengthening of your diversity, your true nature, is what allows for the harmony of the unification to express itself perfectly and allows for continued expansion within all that is. We share with you our beating heart, for it is with the unconditional love of all that is that we speak with you and that remind you to know yourself fully. Look to your Arizona area in your year of 2010. There shall be another opportunity for contact with the Shalanaya. In your year 2008, you shall have an opportunity to set in motion the circumstances in your society that will allow for the initial initiation or recognition to occur in 2010. In 2012, there shall be, in a variety of what you call sacred sites, another opportunity for recognition of the Shalanaya. 5 years hence, which you would call your year 2017, there shall be the first broad awakenings of the memories of contacts that have occurred in and around various cities and sites. People will awaken to dream that memory. There will be at first psychological confusion at that, but by your year of 2020, the dreams will explain themselves sufficiently so that all of those that remember will communicate with all others that recall, and there will be the establishment of communication vehicles, centers, and sites on your internet for those that remember the encounters that will reveal themselves in the dreams. After your year 2025, there will then begin a series of limited open contacts in isolated areas, predetermined, pre-selected, pre-chosen on your planet. In and around your 2030, there will be preparation for large-scale open contact by your year 2033. These events are as we read your energy now. You have the ability in the year 2008 to put exactly that timeline in motion. You also have the ability to extend this timeline, depending on what you do in your year 2008. It is all in your hands. Now, more than ever before, begin open dialogue. Begin request of your open discussions of solutions and comments by your governments about what they know of extraterrestrial existence. Strong these opportunities that exist in 2008 for the change of your American government. Infuse that change with recognition not only of what most accelerates to aid and assist in this endeavor and in the environment of your world, but simultaneously with the idea of contact with higher, different, other intelligence. Begin whatever way is representative of your passion, these dialogues, this infusion, these ideas. Use your imagination. Come from the knowing. You do not need to be afraid of the dream. Do not be afraid of the dream. Do not be afraid of the dream. The dream is what will awaken you. Know yourself. And as you know yourself and give off more of the frequency of your true essential nature, the Shalanaya shall recognize you by that sign and shall gravitate towards those they most want when the time comes, when the reunion happens. This is simply our opportunity to share with those who can share these possibilities and the unfoldment. And as a postscript to this, Bashar says, and I quote, "Mommy, Daddy, we will soon no longer be just in your dreams. Mommy, Daddy, if you will help us, we will live side by side in a new world that will be both yours and our home. Until then, we will be in your dreams. Good night, Mommy. Good night, Daddy. We will see you soon. Your world is preparing to experience a level of unconditional love in the near future, unprecedented on your planet. Even in ancient times with other civilizations that were far more connected, far more in remembrance of their connection to spirit, never before in Earth or on Earth have you gone through the darkness to the light in this way. And the remembrance shall be profound. By having taken that path, and the love once regenerated shall never be lost again. And in 1,000 of your years, you will no longer incarnate at all as humans on your world, but will leave it for others to use, for their own journeys, their own experiences, and their own discoveries of self. And you will guide them. You will aid them. You will be their spirit. You will be their entity. You will be the ones to whom they turn to for guidance. This is your legacy, even as it is wrapped up tightly with ours. For we are one family. And as family, are inseparable. We love you, all of you, each one of you, forever and ever and ever." And that is Bashar's Shalanaya transcript. And so I think you can put the dots together from that material to appreciate that everything sort of fits together, the whole extraterrestrial experience, dating back to whenever, 1940s to the present time, and this connection with time travel. And I think it would be also interesting to note at this time that coming up to the year 2012, which is sort of where the leading edge of consciousness occurs in our timeline, Bashar certainly gives lots of information and clues as to how to ride the leading edge of this wave of consciousness. And some of the key points clearly are to understand, first and foremost, that we are the creators of our outer experience. And in that respect, it's important to take 100% 100% responsibility and acknowledge that we are the creators of our own experience so that we can claim our power to make adjustments to that outer experience. And one of the chief responsibilities that we have with the rational mind is to put a positive spin on all outer circumstance. And that follows the formula of positive meaning in to the outer circumstance equals a positive experience from that outer circumstance. And negative meaning in produces a negative experience. And as usual on ET Yoga, we throw the challenge out to our listening audience to try this technique, that when you come across circumstances that you would normally view as negative, throw a positive spin on them, and a positive emotional spin. And even if you don't see any possible way that it could turn out positive, say to yourself, well, I don't see any way, possible way this could turn out positive, but I'll put a positive emotional spin on this anyway. And I challenge you to keep a log of when you do this and what the eventual experience turns out to be. And in connection with that is the concept that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. And this is another one of the key concepts, because they don't. Outer circumstances are neutral, and we place a value judgment on them, and that determines our experience. And this will also be true for things that are coming up, like potential economic collapse, the whole concept of 2012, and how you will experience that. Having positive expectation is key to having a positive experience, as well as throwing a spin on what's already perceived in the outer circumstances. And one of the techniques that Bashar teaches is a mantra that he, it goes like this: outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Well, if you prefer joy, then see the circumstance from the perspective of joy and act accordingly. And this is also consistent with scientific research, which shows that the brain and the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain and the head, and actually emits an energy field about 10 feet from the human body that's physically measurable. And so thus, when you create a frequency, that frequency will be reflected in your outer experience. And I think the interesting point here about that concept is that the emotions, clearly, of joy and excitement are the ones that we want to be in tune with most of the time. And that his idea of outer circumstances don't matter, it's not that they don't matter in the fact that they're insignificant, it's that they don't create more material circumstance. State of being produces outer circumstance. It isn't that outer circumstances produce them on their own. Another interesting and very important extraterrestrial concept. And I think this also touches upon the point that you are unconditionally loved by all that is, prime creator, whatever label you want to use of the primordial energy. And when you believe something, the universe will support you in that belief. And this is why on ET Yoga we did an entire show on belief, because belief is so important. And it's also very important to spend some time getting in touch with your beliefs. And one of the reasons that this becomes highly important is that all of us initially downloaded beliefs from our original caregivers. And we need to thank those initial caregivers for the positive beliefs that they passed to us. And also, we need to take inventory of those beliefs that no longer serve us. And in that light, there needs to be some inner work done. because sometimes we get in our outer reflections circumstances that we don't prefer. And these are based on these definitions and beliefs that we hold that manifest in our outer experience. And I think that it's really important that we understand this concept, how important thoughts, definitions, and our own personal beliefs really are. And in connection to that, I like to refer our listeners to the College of Christ Consciousness, because this is material that was channeled from Gene Hatch, or by Gene Hatch of Mother Mary. And this was, these were secrets in the mystery schools for hundreds of years. And over time, the odd one has sort of maybe crept out or been kind of revealed. But a whole list of 20 of these secrets are listed at the website College of Christ Consciousness. And one of the reasons that I think it's so fascinating is that this information came from a couple thousand years ago. And according to the Bashar information, he's coming from a future 2,700 years in our future, and the ideas totally dovetail. And it all concerns this whole idea about the laws of the universe and the laws of reality, creation. And that in point of fact, reality is the experience. And so thus, one of the things that I find and really love the most about Bashar information and the College of Christ Consciousness information is that it's all about self-empowerment. And clearly, in our day and age, many people have this feeling of powerlessness, and spend a fair amount of their time dealing with blame and complaint and justification of their circumstance. And the fact is that those are the signposts of victimhood mentality. And the first stages of moving into fourth dimensional consciousness is taking 100% responsibility for the outer experience. Acknowledging that responsibility or the ability to respond is what gives you the power to make changes. And I'd like to pass on a tip from Bashar concerning when we make some of those changes. And that is that when we have identified a belief that has been reflecting in something that we don't prefer and we want to change that belief, you can use a visualization technique to see the old belief sort of in a light bulb and unplugging the light bulb so that it's off and plugging in and lighting up your concept of your new belief and focusing and spending some time daily focusing on what your new belief is. And sometimes the outer reflection doesn't necessarily reflect that belief right away, and we get caught in a trap of thinking that it's not working and nothing's happening. And all that really does is reinforce the original old belief. And the idea is, even if you're getting the same reflection, respond to that differently and stick to your new self-empowered belief. And I pass that on because I know that many people get tripped up on that one. And certainly ET Yoga is all about trying to pass on information that is self-empowering. And in this connection, I think we've made the point tonight of how important the new channeled information from extraterrestrials really is, because it's one of the ways that they can have a light touch upon a new world such as ours. So they're not confronting us and overwhelming us with their presence, but they're giving us information through a lot of valid channelers. And it's all about the information. And if you use discernment and check out the Pleiadians, check out the Esasani, check out the Arcturians, check out the Syrians, I think you'll find that there's a world of information here. And this information, as one of our listeners brought up, way back from the Seth material to Bashar material, all these concepts like the secret and the new wave of consciousness, all these things really have been out there a long time. They're not really new. It's just that a larger part of the population are waking up to these ideas. And I like to point out as well that for some of those who think that there's not enough of us and it's too little too late, keep this in mind. Each year that we approach towards the year 2012, the frequencies and vibrations are increasing in magnitude as much as 100,000 times a year. So if you can only imagine how powerful our thoughts and our collective thoughts will be in another 2 or 3 years, that it ain't over till it's over, folks. And the idea is to have a positive expectation about world events, to have a positive spin on the ones that you see, and thus make this the most amazing time that's ever happened on this planet. And with that thought, I'd like to wish each and every one of you my sincerest best for your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week. Good night.